Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. What does another setback for Intel mean for those of us living in Central Ohio? The announcement of another slowdown coming in late July from the company's new CEO escalates worries about the fate of the $28 billion project, a project that was supposed to open this year and has already been pushed back to 2030 or later. The state has invested millions in hopes of reaping high-paying semiconductor jobs and boosting its cred as the Silicon Heartland. So there are some big questions about what will happen next. Joining us now is Mark Ferenchik, News Director for WOSU Public Media. Welcome, Mark.
Hello.
And also with us, WOSU News Reporter George Shilcock. Welcome back to All Sides, George.
Thanks, Amy.
I want to start with a look back to the groundbreaking ceremony. It was September 9th, 2022, and then President Joe Biden was on hand to celebrate pushing through the CHIPS Act and helping to make the Intel project possible. Here is President Biden's remarks from a New Albany promotional video about the groundbreaking.
In March, I shared the story in my State of the Union address, the story of the Field of Dreams in the middle of Ohio, where America's future will be built.
And then Governor DeWine made this pledge to company executives.
By choosing Ohio over 39 other locations across our country, you recognize and you put your faith in Ohio and in our people. We will not let you down.
So a lot of fanfare, a lot of excitement, a field of dreams. Mark, just what kind of game changer was Intel supposed to be here in Central Ohio?
Well, a big one, obviously. You know, they are investing. They said that they were going to invest $28 billion here in their plant. That would include also 3,000 permanent jobs, skilled workers, 7,000 construction jobs, tens of thousands of spinoff jobs. And if you go out to the site, you'll still see lots of construction cranes. You'll see a partially completed building on the site. But it was, and again, they had promised, you know, millions of dollars of commitments to local universities to get a trained workforce to help work at the plant. So, and then, you know, hopefully lure similar types of investments here to the region.
Now, they began hitting snags. Earlier this year, they announced a multi-year delay. So instead of opening this year, 2025, they said it wouldn't be till 2030 or 2031. George, what has the company said publicly? It's been pushing back on headlines that they're giving up on Ohio, but what has the company been saying?
The company has said that they still intend to complete this project, but they're slowing down construction. And that slowdown, you can like clearly see it on the site. There's a lot left. There's still those cranes, like Mark said, you can drive up there and see them just towering over the site. But there's a slowdown in construction, and that's what they've been saying as well.
Now, yeah, Mark, you drove up to the site. So is there a building? I haven't been there.
Yeah. So, again, it's partially completed. Again, I went on Sunday. So, again.
Maybe no one was working because it was a Sunday.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. So, you know, but again, so their CEO, again, he told investors, you know, recently when the news of the slowdown came that they were doing so to, quote, ensure our spending is aligned with demand while maintaining flexibility to accelerate based on new customer wins. So that's basically saying, you know, they have to wait to see what he had said that they were expanding too quickly. They decided not to expand in Germany and Poland. They say they're still committed to Ohio, but they basically are also saying our business needs to pick up for us to accelerate construction. So they're dealing with all of that now, and that's why there's so much uncertainty.
Yeah, Intel did provide a statement today with a spokesperson saying, "We want to reinforce that we are still committed to Intel in Ohio." And the statement goes on, it's lengthy, but it also says, "Ohio One remains an important part of our long-term plans to expand leading-edge manufacturing on U.S. soil." So, George, are we supposed to believe those words, even though Intel is in such tough economic times? I mean, what's an Ohioan to think?
I tried asking a lot of different Ohioans, big wigs, who have been talking about this project for a while, and a lot of them, especially in government and the business community, are very much still committed to this project. They almost all sent a very similar statement saying, mm-hmm. we believe in Intel's commitment to Ohio, that Intel's going to finish this. But I also reached out to Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb, who had quite a different take on this. And he says himself, the other Licking County commissioners and the community at large are a lot more concerned about this project and its future.
Yeah, we're going to be talking with Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb later in the hour. But you did talk to him. He has said in the past that he thought maybe if Intel didn't come through, someone else would buy the building and do it anyway. But now he seems a little less sure about that.
He told me he still believes that's a possibility, that some like a Taiwanese company might pop in, or like an NVIDIA, which also makes these computer chips. But I think the key words that really came out of his mouth are he's frustrated and he's very, very disappointed in these latest announcements from Intel.
And Mark, reporters caught up with Governor DeWine several times at the Ohio State Fair. They asked him about this.
Right.
He was very optimistic, but what he has to be, I guess.
Right. I mean, you know, he still thinks, again, he has said that Intel remains committed to the area. Kenny McDonald, the president and CEO of One Columbus, basically said the same thing. So they're remaining optimistic while obviously closely monitoring what's going to happen with the company as it tries to re-energize itself, for lack of a better term, and to go in a different direction while they're still supposedly committed to finishing this these two plants in Ohio. Again, if you remember, they were talking about maybe building up to eight. But I think everybody just wants to see them finish these first two.
I was talking with a reporter the other day on the reporter roundtable, and he said that he thought that the call with Intel was interesting because they wouldn't give a date to this like second announcement of a slowdown. They just used the word further, like further down the line. George, do you think it's possible to even put a date on things anymore?
I'm not sure. 2031 is still a long ways off, and that was really one of the last dates we got. It's definitely going to be hard to put a date on this if they keep pushing it back and construction keeps slowing down.
Yeah. And it's interesting that they, when they announced the slowdown construction, that they did not, you know, talk about any particular date that this could be pushed back to. I know Intel gave us another statement last week that said, we will share more as we advance construction and align the start of production with customer orders. So again, a lot of that, again, is just due, you know, we'll see what happens with the business. If their orders pick up, if the demand picks up, then they can realign their schedule at all. But right now, I think they're trying to figure out how this is going to, you know, affect their schedule.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the latest news with Intel with WOSU News Director Mark Farinchek and WOSU reporter George Shilcock. Ohio has been working to brand itself as the Silicon Heartland, and Intel was the crown jewel in that phrase. And then we also have Anduril, the defense manufacturer that announced plans to locate into Pickaway County. Are we going to be the Silicon Heartland, Mark? What do you think?
Well, we'll see. You know, they're also building, again, Honda and LG are building an EV electric battery plant in Fayette County, too. All these data centers are popping up, which people will say will help lure more tech companies here. George has reported extensively on Ohio State and requiring students to have AI, to learn AI and to use that. So these things are all happening, but it just, I mean, Intel's the big part of this. And I think if Intel succeeds, then it will boost this region's capabilities. But if it doesn't succeed, that will be interesting to see how that, what the fallout might be from that too.
Jobs Ohio recently awarded Anduril $310 million, a grant, as a part of a 30-year economic development agreement. They're slated to create 4,000 jobs. But Jobs Ohio also awarded a lot of money to Intel, George. Can we trust that Anduril's going to happen?
That's a great question, you know? I think it's definitely a wait-and-see approach. Obviously, a defense contractor is a lot of a different beast than a very private like company like Intel, which is making these computer chips. There's a different dynamic there. But I think after seeing what happened with Intel and seeing these delays and and even the company saying in recently in their own reports that if they don't sell more of their products, they might even put a halt to Ohio's project, that people are going to have questioned this about Anduril as well as that project moves forward.
Do you think Anduril will become the big news story now because we're in wait and see mode about Intel, Mark?
I mean, I think so. People are going to, I mean, again, there's a lot of development happening near the airport too. So again, people are going to question Anduril until they see, you know, ground, the same thing, ground being moved, buildings, you know, rising, and a commitment to their completion date and when production will start. So it would be, I think, natural for people to be skeptical until they see these things going, considering also how much public money is involved in not only Anduril, but obviously in Intel.
So let's talk a little bit about taxpayer money that Ohio dedicated to this project. The state gave Intel $600 million already. There was a promise of more to come. Do either of you know if there was strings attached to this money?
So I contacted the Department of Development yesterday, and they said, because I asked them the same question, and they said, in the event that Intel does not meet its fixed asset investment, job creation, and payroll commitments, our agreement enables the state to claw back funding.
Okay. So because my understanding was that some of it was grants, and grants you can't really get back.
Right.
But if it is money tied to, like, specific goals. So you have to create 3,000 jobs by X date,
correct,
or else you have to give the money back.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
That's the way it supposedly would work. Now again, we'll see what happens.
Now I did talk with a reporter the other day on the roundtable who said that oftentimes there's language within these. There's like that he worried about a loophole that maybe like, you know, maybe you know, it says you have to create the jobs in 30 years, so we won't see the money. Yeah. For 30 years, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are some similar agreements like with the city when the city grants tax abatements and things like that in terms of, you know, you have to create so many jobs by a certain date. You have to do so much investment by a certain date. It's like, again, it's like anything else. This is what the state is saying. When we get to that point, we'll see what actually happens.
And George, when you talked with Commissioner Bubb from Licking County, you talked about data centers as well and how there's been the explosive growth in the region of all of these things, from Intel to data centers to all of these big buildings. There are pros and cons with these developments, but having all these extra data centers around Ohio, does that lessen the blow if we lose Intel?
I think Tim Bubb definitely likes it, for sure. And it definitely could still bring in more companies. I think Intel being there is definitely, like Mark said earlier, it's a draw for companies like Intel. So Licking County could still see more jobs come from that. But if you're just looking at the data centers themselves, there's a lot of concerns, not only because these don't create a lot of jobs. These are gigantic facilities, but maybe six people working in them.
Yeah. Right. They just need security and someone running the building.
Yeah. There's like one being planned, I forget where in the country, but Meta is planning one that's like the size of Manhattan. And it's going to be staffed by a couple dozen people.
Yeah,
but when it comes down to it, I think there's still going to be a production in Ohio and a draw in Central Ohio and a draw for companies like these. But the jobs creation, and especially if you're just looking at data centers, the burden on the electricity grid, the burden on water resources is going to be more of a question down the line as well.
Now, Mark, you mentioned you went out to the site and it was a Sunday, so no one was working. But there was obviously work that had been happening because there's all kinds of stuff.
Correct. And one of the things, if you drive out there and just take a drive around an area that was pretty rural until fairly recently, but when you see all the electrical infrastructure that's been built out there, whether it's substations, whether it's power lines, towers, everything else, and all the other development that's going on in that area too, in that part of New Albany and Licking County, again, it's like, Intel came there, and all these other things are happening around there, too. So,
how about the roads? Is it?
The roads are widened.
Roundabouts.
Paved. Yeah, roundabouts, certainly. Yes, all of that, although they're still near the site, some very narrow country roads, too. So you look at all those houses out there, again, people with large amounts of acreage and even dairy farms, things like that, all still in the midst of this, you know, monster development that's going on out there.
And we heard from a construction worker who said that there had been a handful of layoffs last week, but not everyone. So had you heard that, too?
I'm not aware of the specifics of all that. That's something we would still need to check on.
All right. Well, I want to thank you both for your time. And obviously, we're going to keep talking about this. We've been talking about the latest slowdown with the Intel project. Thank you to WOSU News Director Mark Barinchek. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
And WOSU News Reporter George Shilcock. Thanks, Mark. Or thanks, George. You're Mark. You're George.
Thank you, Mark. I mean, Amy.
And coming up, what the Intel announcement means for those living in the area and for us, the taxpayers. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Turn back the clock to 2021, when the western edge of Licking County was nothing but farmland. It was a quiet area of rural residents and farms with narrow country roads used to minimal come-and-go traffic. And then came the Intel groundbreaking in September of 2022, heralded as the largest economic development project in Ohio history, and bulldozing more than 900 acres of farmland. For residents and officials from Jersey Township, Licking County, and the city of New Albany, the area will never be the same. Intel's latest announcement throws doubt on whether the $28 billion chip manufacturing operation will ever see the light of day. Joining us now is Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. Welcome back to All Sides, Commissioner Bubb.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And also with us is Bailey Sandin, the Work and Wages Fellow at Policy Matters Ohio, a think tank that researched Intel's impact on the region. Welcome, Bailey.
Glad to be here, Amy.
So, Commissioner Bubb, I want to start with you. There's been some time for the news of this slowdown to sink in. Do you believe that Intel is committed to Ohio and your county's project?
Well, I do. I do. They certainly have a big investment here as well as the state of Ohio does. And Licking County's got some skin in the game as well. They're committed. Their problem is their place in the market for advanced chips, and where their place in the market is a foundry operation. Right now, they're kind of struggling from a market share standpoint, and they're not selling. And I think until their market share improves, and they're in a position where they can either make chips themselves for the next generation to sell them. This is not a hobby. It's a business. They're trying to make money. Or unless they partner up with someone, right now we're going to have a couple of big empty plants out there.
Yeah, and Intel says they are committed to the project. But if you read between the lines, they're also saying they're not going to manufacture chips that no one wants. So is it too late to pivot with what has already been planned in Licking County? Can they make different chips where you guys are?
That's a good question. For them, the question is, can you make chips that actually work and perform well compared to their competitors? And is the marketplace ready for them? I still think they'll end up pairing up with someone or selling the foundry business and or having some competition to partner up to make those plants active. And the sad thing about it is that a lot of promises were made in the 2021-22 timeframe, and those are promises that they unfortunately cannot live up to at this point economically. And so Licking County is a we're in this with them because they chose to be here. So we're also feeling that slowdown.
Now, the state committed $2 billion to this project. Did Licking County receive any state money?
Just a little bit. Most of the money went to ODOT to expand 161, the state highway, from 270 to New Albany. That was a major project that has been accomplished. And then a lot of, about a third of that money went to New Albany because a lot of this, all the site was annexed from about 1,500 acres total have been annexed into New Albany from Jersey Township, that rural area you spoke about. And 900 of those acres are the Intel site. Intel got their part of the money. They've spent that. They've spent it on site acquisition and construction and spent a bunch of their own money as well. The only money Licking County was not part of that distribution at the start, which frustrated us a great deal because there was a lot of pressure on Licking County to deliver workforce, workforce housing, transportation, infrastructure, all the things that you would normally think about for a mega site that you might do in a decade. If you remember, in January 22, all of a sudden Intel exploded on the scene and they were promising 2025, 2026. That's a pretty short time frame to do all the things that you have to do to adapt to a mega site from an area that was essentially rural right beside New Albany. So it was almost impossible if you think about it. And it's put a lot of pressure on Licking County. Now, we have had allocation of a little over $90 million to Licking, Franklin, and Delaware counties to improve about 11 miles of county road. And I mean serious improvement, widening, rebuilding, and about five major roundabout intersections that will touch Licking, Delaware, and Franklin, and essentially improve the access to that greater Intel site and improve the safety of intersections. And we've got that money along with ODOT and our partners, and we've done the engineering. So starting next year in 26 and into 27, you can't close all the roads at once. We are going to do that construction. So we will get about 11 miles of county roads improved and some new intersections out in that area that will serve whomever. But of course, the time frame was to get them done by 2026 because we're going to have this army of 3,000 people descending upon Licking County to build chips. And that's not the case. However, let's not lose sight of the fact that that greater New Albany region in western Licking County is the site of an awful lot of other economic development, from Amgen to Axiom to a whole variety of companies, and now the army of data centers arriving. There's a lot of other activity out there, and I hate to say it, but Intel's kind of old news compared to a lot of the other development that has come on the horizon.
All right, we'll talk more about Intel becoming a back burner project in just a minute, but I want to bring Bailey Sandin into the conversation from Policy Matters Ohio. Policy Matters Ohio takes a consumer-focused approach on this project. You're pushing to protect the investment of public money. So we were just talking about some of that public money. In addition to the $2 billion from the state, the federal government promised Intel $8.5 billion in taxpayer money. And your group has called for more guardrails and transparency. What exactly do you want to see put in place when it comes to what's happening with this federal and state money?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question. What we would like to see is, first and foremost, greater transparency. A lot of these contracts have been kept secret under the justification of quote unquote trade secrets. And what we need to see is those contracts on what are these benchmarks that release a certain amount of funds. You know, what does Intel have to accomplish in order to get this taxpayer money, and making sure that those benchmarks are actually benefiting the community, that we're employing Ohioans, that we're being inclusive about and thoughtful about who is working on the site and who is going to be working for Intel, and that we're ultimately benefiting the community and ensuring that it's going to be an economic stronghold for us.
The Department of Development talked with or emailed with WOSU's news director yesterday and said that if Intel doesn't meet some of its, you know, projected jobs that they said they were going to meet, they will have to pay back some of the money. Some of the money's grants, so I guess the grant money would be gone, but other money has strings attached to it. Do you believe that's true? Will that, if Intel doesn't come up with the jobs in a certain amount of time, will they have to pay back the money?
I'm sure hopeful that that's going to be the case, but I do know for a lot of those clawbacks and getting that money back, that the contracts that have been drafted are so broad that it's going to be difficult to be able to do so. So I'm hoping that money can be held, you know, accountable to taxpayers. But, you know, when it comes down to it, there's been a significant investment made already.
Now, in terms of workforce, you know, there's none of these actual people building chips yet. But they've had a lot of construction work. So in terms of workforce, has the company lived up to the number of jobs they promised at the construction site? Intel says that they have hired people from 83 of the state's 88 counties, that kind of thing.
Correct. But the actual workforce that has been used on that construction site is, I believe, about half of what Intel had initially projected. So even that construction workforce is significantly smaller and also moving at a slower rate than anticipated.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the latest news with Intel with Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb and Bailey Sandin, Work and Wages Fellow at Policy Matters Ohio. And Tim, well, let me ask you that same question. Do you feel like Intel has lived up to its commitment with the construction jobs? Are there a lot of people working out on that site today?
Well, not as many as there were. Bailey is correct. They started out with quite an army with Bechtel and several other companies on site doing the excavation work and then starting the huge bases for those fab plants and then starting to erect steel. And they have cranes on the site and they've spent a lot of money, a lot of their own money. But no, they haven't lived up to those 5,000 jobs, total construction jobs. And this project has been in a slowdown mode for over a year. And to be honest with you, I think they've just decided that they're kind of bleeding red ink and they were not going to spend money that much money that quickly for a couple of manufacturing plants that they had no immediate plans to use. So now she's absolutely correct. They've certainly had a lot of construction on the site. They've employed people, but not quite to the extent that was promised.
The last time I had you on the show to talk about this was when a different slowdown was announced. I think it's when they said the 2030 number. And you said that you thought that maybe Intel if Intel doesn't work out, a different company will come in and buy it because there's already been an investment in that area. So someone else will come build something in Licking County. Do you still believe that?
Well, I guess that would be my hope. You know, the generally it's been understood that one of these plants was going to be for the commercial market and one was going to be in large part to serve some of the military needs going forward for advanced chips. And so, you know, the timetable has always been that the United States needs this both for American security and also to bring the supply domestic so we have control over the future. Time will tell. Their competitors, including smaller competitors, have pivoted pretty well and sort of captured the AI market and the advanced chip market. So I think Intel's trying to get in the game. I still think they'll partner up with someone. To Bailey's response, I'm not sure the clawbacks will ever work or ever be effective because they'll continue to work on those plants. And the trouble is that those plants may not be active or needed for the better part of a decade. Time will tell. It's possible that a competitor that's doing well may partner up with them and they may need that capacity sooner. And that would be the optimal situation. But right now, that's just a pie in the sky kind of thought, you know?
Yeah. And Bailey, to bring you back into the conversation, the idea of these jobs not happening in the clawbacks, if Intel as a company would pull out completely or go out of business, is there any fail-safe for the state? Can they get any of their money back? Or is it really just dependent upon Intel making jobs? That's the goal.
Yeah, in order for the state to get some of that money back, like I previously said, the contract is so broad that, you know, Attorney General Yost said, quote, they would have to, it's so broad they could drive a truck through it. So with how broad these contracts are written, if we're actually able to get a, you know, notable portion of that money back, that's going to be up to some lawyers. But it's not necessarily, you know, clear at this point. But what is clear is the investment that Ohioans have already made into this project and that Intel simply is not following through.
I want to play a cut from the 2022 groundbreaking. It's from a promotional video that New Albany made, and it has some comments from Frederick Bertley, the president and CEO of COSI. He's talking about science and technology.
We're talking about the largest investment of any business company in the history of these United States is being done right here in New Albany. This is a massive thing for the country. You're talking about STEM engagement at the highest level. Cutting edge computer science technology. You don't need to go to Silicon Valley anymore. So shout out to New Albany, the great city that helped make all of this happen.
So Commissioner Bubb, you know, the semiconductor classes are being taught at Central Ohio Technical College. They're offering an associate's degree. You're laying the groundwork for educating and preparing students to work at this Intel plant. Can you tell me more about, are you going to continue with those plans or are you going to have to slow that down too?
Well, it's interesting. The market has slowed down. Certainly the educational institutions, they were infused with a good bit of money, both in Franklin County and Licking County, to create job-specific training for the site. Now, you know, training the workforce for the next generation of technical jobs is a great investment in our future for Central Ohio. They're going to work somewhere. They might work at Andrel. Who knows? I mean, we're basically, with STEM education, we're training up the next generation to work in what will be the future. So that's okay. They're still doing it, but they were also given subsidy money to create those programs. I think where you're going to see the slowdown is in the creation of residential and commercial development in the region. A lot of folks very quickly made investments in land, some poor investments, thinking that 3,000 employees were on the way and we can't build these houses fast enough. Well, I understand that there's some folks pulling back pretty aggressively from some plans that right now maybe don't make sense because you don't build houses for people that aren't coming. And Amy, the big question will be, who will be the governor at the end of next year, the next lieutenant governor to follow Mike DeWine and what was then John Houston, now Jim Tressel. They bought into this. They put Ohio on the line to do this. They bought the Intel promise, and the next governor is going to really face the challenge along with the next state administration about clawbacks and what do you do with that site and how do we move the Intel promise forward, knowing that Intel may not be able, at least individually, to carry that promise forward without some help. So time will tell, but it has affected Licking County. And to be honest with you, it's given us some breathing room. If you want to look at it the other way, it was almost impossible for school districts and residential development to somehow keep up with the Intel promise. It takes a while to build a new high school or to build several thousand new homes. And remember, a lot of the resources and labor are stretched pretty thin in Central Ohio with crafts and that sort of thing that are being called into commercial use. There's only so many builders around. So maybe this gives us Licking and Central Ohio a little breathing room until we see how the Intel promise is going to work out and how it's all going to come together. But it was nearly impossible for us to meet the expectations within 3 years that Intel originally threw on the table.
Do you feel like Governor DeWine, John Husted, Jobs Ohio, did they jump in too quickly with Intel? Do you think that they picked the wrong horse to back here?
Well, hindsight's always 20/20, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Pat Gelsinger came and he sold Ohio the bill of goods on Intel and how they wanted to develop the next generation of chips, but they haven't been able to deliver on that. I guess we took him at face value for a time. So did his board until they summarily dismissed him last year and restructured their company. So, you know, I think the governor and the lieutenant governor and their folks did the best they could with the knowledge they had. But as it turns out, Intel maybe wasn't as strong a player into the new generation of chips that they promoted themselves to be. And history and time will tell whether they bet on the wrong horse or not. Right now, we have a site in development and a site that they or someone else can use. And so it's still an investment in the future. I think the question is, who's going to do it, to build what, and how soon? And those answers are not obvious right now.
That's a lot of questions, yes. And Bailey, I wanted to, another thing that besides talking about the contracts and whether we can get any money clawed back, your organization also has some environmental concerns that are being raised about the chip making process. It's a concern that covers not just Intel, but the entire semiconductor industry. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. So one of the byproducts of the semiconductor industry are these toxic forever chemicals called PFAS. And PFAS has been linked to increased cancer, infertility, And other issues when there is significant exposure to it. And one of the biggest problems with PFAS is that it can get into the water, it can get into the soil, and then ultimately into our food. So it is a wide-scale consumption. It's not just people that are working at the facility that are at risk for exposure, but also, you know, neighboring communities and anywhere that that water runoff ultimately ends up at. And that can cause significant health concerns for the surrounding community and also the individuals working for the plant, and that can impact generations.
Well, and I guess, Commissioner Bubb, we can worry about the environmental impacts, but first we need to be making chips before we worry about that. Is that true?
Well, yeah. And I don't want to lose track of the fact that just because these plants are not currently planned for operation, and right now they have no plans to put the equipment in them because they don't know what chips they're going to build, that doesn't mean that Western Licking County and New Albany are not on fire as a site. We have 8 data centers in some configuration of completion, including major data centers by Meta and Google that already exist out there, along with Amgen growing to a several building site out of California they've located here. Axiom has just built their 8th plant out there. The New Albany site, the greater New Albany site in Western Licking County, employs thousands of people that come in there every day. So
that's to build the data centers, because once they're built, a lot of these data centers don't need a ton of workers to work at them, right? They just have about a dozen people who manage them after they're built.
Be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of data centers. I'm a fan of manufacturing. I like to build things that are going to be here for a long time and make things, and people are going to make things. A data center is a big warehouse full of computers. It sucks up a lot of energy and it sucks up a lot of utilities. Now we're building plants now with behind the meter natural gas to fire them up with electricity. So, you know, the carbon footprint continues. It's a small employer. And they take up a lot of our good development space. To be honest with you, I'd rather see a lot of that development space go to manufacturing sites. But it's a free country out there. People buy ground. And right now, I guess we have these phones and we have AI. Everybody wants to store all their pictures somewhere. So I guess we need these giant warehouses full of computers called data centers. I kind of wonder, in 20 or 30 years, what are we going to do with all those big buildings with a bunch of old computers in them? But time will tell. Right now, that's where Meta, that's where Google, that's where everybody's putting their money into data centers. That's the hot thing. And God knows that Central Ohio right now is the promised land for data centers.
All right. Well, I want to say thank you, Licking County Commissioner Tim Bubb. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Aaron.
And thank you, Bailey Sandin, the Work and Wages Fellow at Policy Matters Ohio. Thanks for joining us, Bailey.
Of course. Thank you so much.
And coming up, a deeper dive into Intel, the company, its industry standing, and how competitors are shaping its future. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. We're talking this hour about Intel and the company's recent announcement that it will slow down the $28 billion project in New Albany Industrial Park. It's been a bumpy few years for Intel. The company has lost money and market share. It's lost a significant chunk of its workforce. It's also had a slow pivot along with the AI innovations. Joining us now is Reuters technology correspondent Max Cherney, who is based in San Francisco. He and his colleagues have been breaking stories about Intel and the semiconductor industry. His latest exclusive story landed this morning, titled "Exclusive: Intel Struggles with Key Manufacturing Process for Next next PC chip, sources say. Welcome to All Sides, Max.
Thanks for having me on this morning.
So before we get into the latest manufacturing hurdles that you wrote about, let's start with the announcement in late July, because it impacted us here in Central Ohio. The new CEO made waves, especially here locally, saying that the company is going to slow down its process here in Ohio. Do you feel like the company is making some good moves financially, or is it a desperate attempt to right a sinking ship?
So Intel CFO Dave Zinsner has said that one of the company's top priorities at the moment is to essentially fix the company's balance sheet. That involves a number of financial maneuvers, including slowing down production construction, in Ohio, as well as consolidating some of the company's packaging facilities in East Asia. A lot of job cuts. They're bringing the total headcount down to 75,000 people this year, when, you know, at least a few years ago, it had risen to as high as 128,000. So it's a pretty significant, you know, change in how they're looking at their staff. They're attempting to take out a lot of middle management layers. That's they said on the earnings call that they removed about 50% of those layers already. So it's part of like a much larger approach to correcting the company's financial sort of performance. And we'll see what kind of effects that will have in the short run.
The former CEO, Pat Gelsinger, was forced out last December. How has the new CEO, Lip Bhutan, charted a different course? Is this his way of charting a different course, these job cuts and eliminating middle management?
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's been on the job for, I think, 6 or 7 months now, right, Amy? So he's pretty new to the whole thing. Though he was on the board for 2 years prior to his installation as CEO. So he's familiar with the company in a way that some incoming executives, new executives, might not be. But Tan has taken a decidedly different approach. His style is very different than Pat's style. If you just look at how he talks to the news media or doesn't talk to the news media in this case, how he behaves on earnings calls, how he presents himself in public, how he presents himself with his partners in private. He has a very different style than Pat. He seems to be taking says he's taking an approach that's very customer focused, and, you know, to be in the contract manufacturing business, that's important. I mean, your customers are the only thing that matters. And if you don't do, or, you know, can't do what they want you to, then, you know, the business very easily could flounder. He's also, you know, taken steps that are, yeah, decidedly different than what sort of Pat had attempted, especially in AI. Intel more or less mothballed its AI efforts under Pat, and Tan has decided to embark on, you know, a 2 to 3 year journey at minimum to sort of restart the company's AI chip ambitions. And he's looking at what is much more common these days. It's sort of like a more full system approach instead of just making a chip. So he'll make the computer that surrounds the chip essentially as well. So there are any number of different ways that Tan has decided to, you know, move Intel in a different direction.
Now, the former CEO, Pat Gelsinger, came here to Ohio in 2021 and 2022, made a lot of promises to our governor and our lieutenant governor and a group here called Jobs Ohio. He said that the state might reach $100 billion to create the largest semiconductor manufacturing location on the planet. Did Ohio gamble and lose here? I know you can't exactly answer that, but do you think Ohio picked the wrong horse to back here?
I'm really not sure. That's up to the citizens of Ohio. You know, I think what I can say is that for countries like Taiwan, that I'm thinking of specifically, and economies that have bet on the chip industry, things have gone pretty well over the years. Taiwan's economy is not entirely chip based, but there's a large chip manufacturing presence there. I mean, chips these days are like the oil for the modern economy, so it's not really a bad bet to think that, you know, that semiconductors are going to be needed in some capacity somewhere. So, in general, the chip industry grows somewhere between, I think it's like 1 or 2% above GDP every year consistently. So it's a good, healthy, growing industry to make an economic bet on. And especially if you have a limited talent pool or limited pool of people who can do something, in like in Taiwan's case, you know, that economy doesn't have the capacity to bet on 20 different industries. It can only bet on a few different industries. So it's in general, and I'm not speaking about Ohio specifically, it's a pretty solid economic bet, because the world seems to want an unlimited number of these things at the moment, especially with AI. I mean, any compute power you give to an AI scientist, they will use it immediately.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about Intel and its future with Reuters technology correspondent Max Cherney. Help us understand the chip manufacturing process a little bit. What were they supposed to be building here in Ohio? Because it was supposed to open this year. So what were they supposed to be building?
So in general, when a company decides to embark on a new factory construction project, they're called fabs or fabrication plants in the industry. When a company decides to make a new fab, it's going to spend somewhere between $10 billion and $20 billion on the whole process. There's a lot of variables there, but that's the rough estimate per fab. Many companies like TSMC and Intel will build, they will acquire a site and then build, you know, a fab or two fabs, and then continue to expand that site as demand grows. Typically in the industry, companies like TSMC, contract manufacturers, will attract customers, and then they will essentially build factories to fill their customers' needs. So if Apple, I'm making this up, but if Apple mm-hmm. were to call Lip-Bu-Tan and say, we wanted to make the next iPhone chip, you know, Tan might say to Tim Cook, great, do you want to pay for the factory or should we pay for it? Mm-hmm. If you want to pay for it, that's fine. Then your chips will be cheaper. And if we're going to pay for it, then your wafers, your chips will be more expensive. So that's typically how it works. Most of the factory costs are actually the semiconductor equipment that goes inside of it. That's roughly 80% of the cost, depending on, you know, which specific tools, but there's some really advanced equipment, most notably from a company called ASML that makes these things called lithography machines, and that performs one of the most important parts of the chip making process. But just to give you an example, each of those machines is something on the order of $180 million each, and you need several of them in one fab to run it effectively. Those are the most expensive machines, and there's dozens of other, also millions of dollar per machine pieces of equipment that you have to buy and bring in. And those can be resold, you know, if you want. Intel typically, when it finishes a production, what's called a production node, like an advanced node, it will sell off the equipment when it's no longer needed. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to pivot to your story this morning. What are sources telling you about Intel's latest manufacturing hurdles? What problems are they having?
So the crucial thing to making chips at high volume is essentially ensuring that each silicon wafer that goes through a factory, which is a process that can take somewhere between 3 to 5 months, depending on the particular manufacturing process you're using to make it. A really crucial thing is the number of good chips, working chips that come off of each wafer. So the more good chips per wafer, the better your manufacturing process is likely to be. Intel is having trouble producing more than roughly more than 10% of the good chips for their Panther Lake processor on its 18A process. So that number.
Wait, so meaning 90% don't work when they make them?
90% are not sellable to customers. Yeah,
well, that's not good.
it's problematic, at least from our discussions with sources. And I mean, it's a nuanced topic, I'll put it that way. But for a specific chip like Panther Lake, it's a pretty small one. So essentially, smaller chips have fewer transistors on them, and if you break those transistors, because there are so few of them, more defects cause bigger problems. For bigger chips like the GPUs that NVIDIA makes, defects don't you can have more defects on the chip because there are more transistors to break, basically. And so in Intel's case, because this is a relatively small laptop chip, that yield could be problematic for them, given the timeline that the company has promised investors.
Unfortunately, we only have a minute left, but I wanted to ask you about Intel's other U.S. plants, not just the one here in Ohio that's being slowed down. There's ones in Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon. How are they doing? Are they being slowed down too?
I'm not sure about all of them. As far as I'm aware, Arizona is not. Oregon, the factory there is actually their main R&D facility. Mm-hmm. So Intel used to do something where they would make their first, they would create a new manufacturing process in Oregon. They would develop it and perfect it, and then they would essentially copy and paste it around the world to Arizona, in Ohio's case, theoretically to Ohio, to Ireland, to Israel, wherever they had a factory. So Oregon is they haven't, at least I'm aware of, haven't announced any slowdowns in construction there.
Okay. Well, what would you say it looks like for whether the project here in Ohio, when can we call it a no-go, or it'll stay on track to meet that 2031 opening date? In 30 seconds, do you think that Intel can meet that date?
I have no idea. I'm sorry to disappoint your readers.
No, I know. No one knows.
I think I would watch closely over the next couple of years. And I mean, you know, it takes two or three years to build a factory. So I think when you start getting closer to that 2031 date, you'll have a better idea, given what they're saying. And frankly, what Intel's financial position is at that point. I mean, that's really the rub at the moment.
We've been talking about Intel and its future with Reuters technology correspondent Max Cherney. Thank you so much for your time today, Max.
Thanks for having me. I really love being here.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jarovich.